I live alone in a furnished apartment downtown, close to the stadium. This is my third team and my third city since I came up to the big leagues. I haven't bought a house or a piece of furniture anywhere. I don't have a wife. I haven't had a girlfriend in years. When I need sex, I get it. It's not difficult in my position, but it's nothing more than that. I drive the same car I bought with my bonus. I'm not an ascetic. I just don't care. I don't know why. Or maybe I do. Those things, girlfriends, wives, homes, the artifice or artifacts of life outside the lines, they have their own gravity and logic, their own science and riddles. I don't have room for them. I need to keep my space for baseball. Maybe someday, when this mystery has been solved, I'll want other things. Not now. I pay for my sister's education. She's pursuing advanced studies in synthetic biology and molecular programming. Soon, she says, we'll be engineered on a molecular level. I wonder how I will feel when science takes metaphysics out of the mysteries that drive me. I also pay for my mother to live in an assisted living facility in the city. That's a 2-hour drive from where we grew up. Dementia came on fast after my sister and I left home. Where she is now is first rate, as these things go, but she doesn't know me anymore, and I don't visit. The membrane I've built around me, I've worked on my entire life. It's nearly impenetrable. But this crowd, this moment, these teammates, it's all getting so close to me now that I can taste their coughs, hear their laughs, and feel their rising hopes that for once, with them as witness, some tiny prayer might be answered. Time is smashing into my eyeballs like a tsunami hitting land. It's all sending ripples through my skin, blowing my cap back, rustling through my jersey, working its way inside me. It hurts a little in a place I can't quite put my finger on. We score another run in the bottom of the 8th. We're up 3-0. I have to stand up. I have to face this. I can't move. I try to lift my butt off the bench, but it won't budge. Everybody has taken the field. The warm-up catcher is waiting behind the plate. The kid at third base ran out there in a spray of sunflower seed shells. They're ready for me, but I can't move. Dickie, always the last one out, especially in the late innings when putting on his armor takes all the energy he can muster, comes over to me. I try to get up before he's in my face, but I can't. What's going on? I don't know. Can't move. The ump comes over to the dugout and says something to our manager, who looks down at us and starts in our direction. Dickie waves him off. Come on. You've done this 1,000 times, he says. It's just another inning. It's the same as a first inning, except it's the last. One more and we're done. I can't. I point to the sky. It's like everything is on top of me. Those stars, the night, the black air. Feels like it's all on top of me and I can't move it. Dickie looks up at me like he's studying something, and for the longest moment says nothing. Just stares. Then, yep, it's there all right. It's on top of all of us. And those stars don't weigh any more on you than they do on anyone else. We all have to get up and do some things whether we want to or not. Now you get up and do this, or I'll never look you in the eye again, and all those guys out there in the field waiting for you, they'll never wait for you again. He grabs my shirt with his right hand and hoists me to my feet like I'm a child. I don't fall down. My legs are beneath me. My arms are beside me. I'm standing. Take the mound, Dickie says, and walks towards home plate. I leave the dugout and the crowd rises to meet. I tug and caress my brim in a pattern only I can make sense of, the ticks seeking a rhythm I can ride. Dickie calls the one, low and outside. I gather and deliver. I can't feel a thing. But the ball is in Dickie's mitt. A strike. Something happens. Some time passes. I tug and pull and caress the brim. Then, same call, same spot, same result. And now, fastball, just off the inside of the plate. Batter chases, misses. Strike three. The ball goes around the infield and back to me. I don't look at anyone. I don't look at anything. I'm not in a hurry, but I have to keep my rhythm. It's eighth notes in double time, the beat of my heart. I've never felt it like this before. The blood throbbing into my earlobes, pounding into my toes. The eighth batter, their shortstop, fouls off a curve after watching a fastball go right down the middle. With two strikes on him, Dickie calls the three, the ace in the hole we've been holding on to all this time. I nod in agreement. The shortstop waves badly at the first slider of the night and goes down for the second out of the inning. Crowd is on its feet. I can barely hear them roar, but I can feel them on my neck like dragon's breath. A pinch hitter comes on deck. He's an aging star in his final year. He's on the team to coach as much as to play. It's a good choice. He won't be rattled. Nothing else would be right. He tips his batting helmet toward me before entering the box. I nod back. And here we are, locked inside an equation that has no right or wrong answer, just an irrefutable result. He digs and points the bat toward my mound. He's ready. I'm square to him, my arms at my side, loose and light. For some reason, I feel no urge to reach for the brim of my cap. I just stand there, loose-limbed, my hands falling toward the dirt. Crowd standing straight up like 40,000 quills on a technicolor porcupine. Camera flashes explode in the corners of my eyes. Knowing the slider has completely shuffled the deck, Dickie goes into his crouch and signals the one, low and inside. Surprise the batter by giving him exactly what he wants. I nod in agreement. I kick up my leg, high in the old ways, high like my socks, and come to first position. I lead and point with my left leg, shifting everything into the opening up before the snapping shut, before nothing else will be known, before I surrender all to the uncertainty of what comes next. I pitch. A fastball. I hear a sharp crack, and I feel a vacuum rush past me, and I know without seeing it that the ball is screaming for the hole between short and third. I turn my head over my shoulder and I see Mac diving to his right faster than thought, fast enough to spear the ball before it tears into the outfield. He's on his back with the ball in his glove. There's no throw he can make to first, and suddenly everything is stopped. There is no mound, no crowd, no Jack, no Mac, no Dickie, no time. There's only this snake of nothingness wrapping around my gut, buckling my knees, and just as I'm about to go down, I catch a blur at the edge of my vision. It's Jack, in full stride, moving toward Mac like Mac somehow knew he would be, and the ball is already making a perfect arc toward him, and I watch as Jack softly swipes it from the air with his bare hand, pivots, and throws it to first. And then Dickie's mask is in the air, and he's running toward me, and everyone else is too, and I'm being crushed under a pile of bodies. And for the life of me, I still can't figure out why. Why would they do this? Why would they do this for me?